down at the bottom of the garden, among the birds and the bees. A little lot of little people, they call the pot into bees.
Hello and welcome to SMPD, the podcast where we look back on the cartoons that shaped our childhood. I'm Chris Bolton. With me, as always, my partner in podcasting, Mr. Mark Williams.
Hello.
And this episode, we are going down to Poddington as we look back at the Poddington peas. We say it every week, but again, how the fuck have we got like 100 and change episodes in and not talked about the Poddington peas?
Yeah, it's a strange one because I remember it. I don't remember particularly liking it as a child.
Okay.
It was just one of those that, I mean, because we were ITV kids, so I only ever saw it so sporadically. And there weren't that many of them either, which also doesn't help. I remember sort of not really caring one way or the other. So when it was on the list, okay, I remember it. And I remember the theme song, which was probably the best thing about it.
We'll talk about that theme song.
So I remembered that. And then I thought, oh, I'll come to it today. And the best thing I found about it, just from a sheer practicality point of view, so I've been quite busy the last couple of weeks in work, and today I've been working at home for the first time in fucking ages. And I could put them on, and literally within an hour, I was done.
Yeah, they're fucking short.
They're so fucking... the clips, I could only find them on YouTube. I couldn't find them anywhere else.
Ditto.
Each one was 5 minutes and 9 seconds, which I thought was very fucking specific. But they were all 5 minutes and 9 seconds. But actually, the opening credits are 33 seconds. The closing credits are longer. So you are actually getting about 3 minutes of content.
Yeah.
And they fucking fly by.
They do fly by. I'm surprised how few episodes there were. Like, shocked, yeah. In fact. So I've watched all of them because there are like 13 episodes of
I think I did seven each. When I actually concentrating, and then the others were on while I was doing something else.
Yeah. So, I mean, as we've talked about, I was kind of... I was a bit of a whore for both networks when I was a kid. Sometimes I'd watch BBC, sometimes I'd watch ITV. Most of the time I'd watch Sky because I would be at my nan's and they had Sky. And if I was home, we had hooky cable. So most of the time I was watching DJ Cat, to be honest. But the terrestrial channels, I could flip back and forth. But I do remember watching a lot of Poddington Peas. But more specifically, I remember just having lots of Poddington Peas stuff. Because this...
Oh, there was loads of it.
Loads. Storybooks, I remember, especially, and annuals.
Yeah.
Always got to be an annual, right?
Yeah.
But I was kind of a weird age with Poddington Peas as well, because I think this came out like
end of 89, so September 89, I think it was.
Yeah. So I was already 8, which, it's fine, but this is a show for very young kids. Like, I probably would have enjoyed the show more as, say, a 5-year-old, right?
Yeah.
But I was still young enough to appreciate it, and I certainly know everybody in school was watching it, and the theme tune. I still, before we'd even started looking back at this, I knew every word and have known every word to that theme song my entire life. Like, from the time I was like 8 years old when I first started watching this, I have carried that theme tune. I know every single fucking word. So I remember more, I think, because of the age that I was.
Yeah.
Rather than the cartoon, I tend to think more the books and the pencil cases and the everything else and the theme song. So I do remember the cartoon, don't get me wrong, and I did watch it. But I remember more of the, like, brief cultural phenomenon, if you like, then, that was the Poddington Peas. It kind of belongs in that same bracket for me as Shoe People and you know, Mr. Men, even, because they're so short. Incidentally, I did think of Mr. Men a lot when I was watching this, and there's another fucking show that we haven't done that needs to go on this list. I don't know how the fuck
we haven't
done.
Yeah, I don't know how
that
hasn't appeared anywhere on the network. I mean, we haven't even had any of them on fucking Who Wins either.
No. So,
which is really, really some of the things we've sort of scraped out on there.
Yeah,
haven't managed to get fucking Mr. Men in there.
Mr. Tickle should definitely have appeared in a Who Wins somewhere at some point, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
Without any shadow of doubt. But that's kind of where it belongs for me. So
anyway, I remember the same. I remember the show existing, and we were ITV kids because I had an older brother and he wanted to watch ITV. So end off. I didn't get a fucking choice. The only time I had a choice was when, like, if he had football training or something after school. And usually we were on the same night, so I had football training as well. On the rare occasion I didn't know what was on BBC, whereas I knew it was on ITV, so I kind of watched that anyway. So I was aware of it. I'd seen it at other people's houses and stuff like that. But I, same as you, I was aware of the books. And I think there were a lot more books. Like, there was Loads. An entire series of books written.
Loads. I had tons of them. Absolutely tons of them. So yeah, it felt more like, and again, similar to things like Puddle Lane and stuff like that as well, where it always felt like the books were the driving force, which in this case they weren't. Like the show was first and then everything kind of grew out of it. But it did... I do remember as well, it occupied a really weird time slot because it was a young kid's cartoon.
Yes.
And I remember, like, back in those days, like, shows, we've talked about this a lot before, and obviously we did Spats last time out on the show, but the shows would get kind of incrementally older as the afternoon went on, to the point where you get to, like, proper family viewing by the time you're at 5 o'clock, just before Neighbours, and then you branch into Neighbours at half five. But, like, the initial stuff that would go on air at, like, 3:30, you'd have very young programmes.
Yeah.
And this, I remember, was always kind of the last one of that block before the kind of switch over to your type of things like Ninja Turtles and stuff like that. This kind of lived in that. And then it would go on to become one of those lunchtime shows that we've talked about many, many times as well. So you'd come home from school and the Poddington Peas would be on BBC Two. So, yeah, I do remember the show, but as I say, I've got more fondness for the books.
Just being on talking on that. So the way they actually did it, so the 13 episodes you had, it was the 3:50 slot. So it took you into that.
Oh, there you go. So I'm bang on the money then. I thought it was.
So you had your broom cover shenanigans, and then you went to your 4 o'clock. So that's what it occupied. So the first 12 episodes were at 3:50. And then for some reason there was a gap, and the last one was shown at like 10:30 on a different day, which was really fucking weird.
That's mad. That is mad. But it,
so I think, because I think they did it as well to coincide with the time of year, because the last episode's Christmas.
Right. You took the words out of my mouth. I was just about to say to you, it could have been that it fell in school holidays and it's a Christmas episode.
Yeah, that was it.
So it might have been like so the Poddington Peas Christmas special was on.
So. Yeah, so I've got it. I know it. I'd seen a reference. I was just looking for it. So the first 12 episodes were shown on BBC One as part of Children's BBC on Thursdays at 3:50, while the last one was shown on the same channel 3 weeks and one day after the penultimate one because of its seasonal subject matter on a Friday at 10:50. So obviously because it was a Christmas one, I said kids would have been off school, so they tried to stack the channels then, because they only had four channels at that point. So trying to stack them up to get kids watching.
And then repeat ad nauseum for the next probably 10 years, which is why it's mad to me that there aren't more episodes. But having said that, it feels, watching it, I know it's a very short show, but it feels like this was very fucking expensive watching it back.
Yes,
now,
it does.
Because this is a quality fucking production. That much can definitely be said for it.
I do find it quite interesting because we talked when we looked at Raggy Dolls, especially, obviously upset some people with that. But we've talked about it where, you know, you have a writer who also does the voices and does the songs and all the rest of it. And it wasn't quite that to that extent. You had a creator and you had a couple of writers who were involved in it. And then you had Nigel Pearson who did the voices.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very much a case of, right, we've got a team building, a team putting this together. And yeah, it looks pretty good. Obviously, the render hasn't really done it any favours taking it to digital and the rest of it, because this thing is fucking nearly 40 years old. It still looks good. It moves well. It still sounds good. And as you said, there's quality in this. Which is the thing that surprised me with it, is that they only had the 13 episodes. They did actually start writing a second season as a co-production with America. But then it eventually, because the Americans wanted things changed, so they wanted to introduce new characters and make it slightly grander, because America. So they were written, but they were never made. And then the guy who created it, whose name I can't remember.
Paul. It's on the tip of my tongue.
I've got it here. It was Paul something, wasn't it? Paul Needs.
That's it, Paul Needs.
So he created, or he had created in the early aughts, a Flash episode, and he was going to make new ones. So he offered it to BBC. BBC said no. He tried offering it to other places, and BBC said, hang on, we own that.
Oh, motherfuckers.
We own the name, we own the characters, we own fucking everything.
Bastards.
So, yeah, so he didn't get to do it.
Copyright law is an arsehole, kids.
It's an absolute shit. So they stopped playing it, if I'm remembering this rightly from what I've read earlier on a copy, I'll have to read it again because it'll slow us down. But I think it was along the lines of they hadn't aired it since like 2002, 2003. And then in 2012, 2013, he then came back. He wanted to do these new episodes. BBC didn't want it. And then when he tried out hawking it anywhere else, they just said, nope. And that was the end of that. It kind of died, which is a real shame.
It is, because it does feel kind of perfect for Flash animation and a lot of the kind of cut out Flash style animation that you see these days, because you're right, I say it feels like a quality production because it does move very well. The animation is very fluid for this, for what it is, because it still has that kind of storybook quality. And the fact that the peas themselves are round and they don't actually require much movement, like they've got arms and legs and they've got faces, but there isn't a lot of
your whole body to move.
Yeah, there's not a lot of pee physics involved then, for want of a better word. Yeah, not like when, for instance, we looked at Madballs and you could see that animation was fucking shite because they're balls and they're bouncing, right?
Yeah.
Whereas this, less so. So it looks very fluid. The opening titles, especially, are beautifully animated. Where everybody's at the concert and stuff, and the band is all jumping up and down, and it looks stunning. But I feel like because of the circular nature and the kind of lack of real movement required, it would have translated to Flash animation very, very well. I think there's an element of timelessness to this as well. Like, we're always gonna be eating peas, right? Unless there's a fucking, I don't know, nuclear holocaust and all of a sudden we can't grow peas anymore. Like, it's not like peas are going away. So, you know, and...
Although for long periods of my life, I wish they would, because we spent high school holidays at my grand's, and the running joke was, what did you have for lunch with your peas?
Yeah, peas are fine.
Every fucking day.
Yeah, but that's the point of them, isn't it? They're like the most bland, inoffensive...
Yeah.
Like, it's plate filler. That's all they are. Yeah. Right? Nobody enjoys peas, hates them either, do they?
That was a fucking... That was the thing. It's just, on general principle, I didn't fucking like them because we always had them.
I think for kids as well, it's just like, oh, it's veg. But it's also like, it's the least offensive, least problematic veg you can possibly be served, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It's fucking peas. Like, when you're a kid, the only thing you might find a bit controversial about peas is if you get served mushy peas. I'm weird. I like mushy peas. Always did. Like, loads of vinegar.
I do now. I didn't as a kid. I do now.
Mushy peas are good shit. But marrow fat peas, not so much. Even though mushy peas technically are, I know, but there's more to it. But like, if somebody just served me up marrow fat peas, I'd be like, what the fuck is this? It's like weird jumbo beans. Anyway, we're probably on a tangent.
Well, maybe this is what we should do after Who Wins finishes. We'll do a culinary podcast.
Okay, you just rank.
Show a little. We really fucking know.
Ranking the best peas. What is your all-time top 10 of tinned vegetables? Welcome to growing up in the UK in the 80s. Tin potatoes, worst. Tin potatoes are the absolute fucking pits, right? They are definitely...
I don't know.
Worse.
I'll take those over. Well, you've got like the tin kidney beans. There's just so fucking many, but you might as well have one massive kidney bean. They're all dense and stuck together.
Yeah, I lump those in with marrow fat peas, I think. They're both kind of pulsy. But tinned new potatoes are the absolute fucking...
Oh, yeah, they ain't great.
Worst thing. I mean, this is odd coming from me, I know, but probably like the best is tinned tomatoes because they're so versatile. Yeah. And then do we class baked beans? I mean, a bean is technically a pulse, right? So is a pea a pulse? No, it's not, is it? It's a vegetable, so that's fine. Yeah. Beans we can't count because they're pulses. Anyway, we're brainstorming a new show live on air, listeners. If this is interesting to you, let us know. Let's get back to talking about the actual Poddington peas. Just one more bit of like random trivia before we move on. I didn't realize until I was much older and I started traveling the country for work that Poddington is an actual place. I assumed Poddington was just invented. It's spelled slightly differently. So it's, I guess, not the Poddington that's in Poddington because like the actual Poddington's got one D. But Poddington's an actual place. So there we are. Another random tidbit for you. But this...
Now, the cynical part of me wonders if they did that, they added the extra D in so that it looked like Paddington and people might mistake it.
Paddington peas, like Paddington beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly.
Because when I typed in Poddington peas into Google, it auto-corrected to Paddington.
the more cynical part of me, and knowing how commerce and marketing works, the more cynical part of me thinks they already had their eye on the books, the merchandise, and the DVDs, and realize that D comes before I in the alphabet.
No, so, it wouldn't be that.
You know, if you're gonna, if you went Poddington straight away, there's a whole lot of other stuff that might come before you on a shelf. So I don't know, just thinking out loud.
Maybe.
So yeah, getting at the show then, it's got that kind of storybook quality, as I mentioned earlier, and that's kind of, you know, with the whole 5 minute episode that leans into that very well. We talked about this with Jamie and the Magic Torch recently. We talked about it when we did Shoe People as well. We talked about it with a lot of these younger shows where, you know, I feel like it's almost unfair to criticize anything narratively because the narratives are so short. All they need to do is make sense, really. But one,
I mean, you'll probably find this now, certainly if not immediately within the next six to 12 months with your daughters, where you have these kids' storybooks, the ones that are 3 or 4 pages are the ones they love because they can remember them.
Yes.
And we had a lot of that with our two, that, you know, the longer it was, the stories were better and they were more engaging for us, and you could do the voices and shit like that, which is great when you can only do one voice, by the way. But they're really, you know, you can engage more with that, and you can tell the story, but you can, you know, as they're, by the time you get to that, they're a bit older and you can ask them questions and they can, you know, they can point things out and stuff like that. But when you're at this at a very young age, where actually it's like, yes, this is a book. It's still a book. It was a book yesterday. It's still a book now. But having that sort of that story that's so short, but as you said, it has a very simple narrative. Very little actually has to happen, but you get across your 3, 4, 5 pages and you're done. And it's great for that. And this feels exactly like that.
It does feel exactly like that. And I am experiencing that already. Yeah, her favorite stories are very, very short. At the moment, she likes the fucking zoo one where the zoo sends all the animals. And it's Deer Zoo. Is it Deer Zoo? I think it's Deer Zoo. Something like that. Anyway, it's a Rod Campbell book. We have it in English and Welsh. It's exactly the same book. Of course, she prefers the Welsh one because that's more difficult to read. But either
Google
way,
your friend.
It's like 9-10 pages, a different animal on every page. But it still has a very rudimentary narrative with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Yes. And I think that's the difference between that, which I do actually think is a very good book. It's probably one of my favorites as well. And some of the other shit she's got that she really likes, which is like 4 or 5 pages, which is just fucking word soup. Like it's barely even a story. It's like, we did this, then we did this, then we did this, the end.
And pretty much.
And I think it's easy to fall in that trap. And some of the shows we've looked at of this ilk have done that, and we've called them out for it. This doesn't. I think, to its credit, this like, yes, everything is a very specific singular episode. Like, there's no real arc for the Poddington Peas. Nobody goes on a narrative journey, and status quo is always reset at the end of every episode, but they all have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Most of them are very simple and quite silly. Really, none of them ever have any kind of message or anything like that.
No.
There's some very light stuff in there, you know, with like, hey, kids, don't eat too much food or you might get stuck, or like, hey, kids, don't be mean. Yeah, you know, shit like that. But it's very rudimentary. Most of the time, this is just about telling the kids a story and just them having a good time with it. And I've got to be honest, I had a really good time with it, meeting it on that level. It was very, very fucking short. It was completely inoffensive. Looks great. It's funny in places. Like, it's not laugh out loud funny.
There were one or two points where I did catch myself chuckling and go, wasn't that fucking funny? But it must have been, because it made me laugh.
Yeah, and especially, like, look, I'm a dad now, so dad jokes are kind of like within my circle. So the names of all the peas, I'm just like, yeah, you stretched for that one, but fair play, it's fucking funny. You know, things like hippie and stuff like that. I'm like, I appreciate it. So for what it's worth, narratively, I did enjoy it, and I can certainly see how it works for kids. I can actually see me watching it with my daughter at some point. I can see us getting into this. I've already started introducing to older shows, like Pingu is her fucking favorite thing in the world at the moment, which makes sense because she's a little fucking chaos gremlin herself, just like Pingu. So it makes I think he's probably a hero. So, you know,
I'm fairly sure I remember you saying Pingu was your spirit animal as well. So, you know,
It does kind of fit. And I kind of hate myself for it now because I can only blame me, right? So, you know, I've only got myself to blame, but I could totally see how it connects. So yeah, I think it's very, very good for young kids, but that's not what we do here, right? For us, it's about looking back in it and seeing what we think. And for me, in terms of just pure cartoons, like this is one of, I personally think this is one of the better ones we've had in a little while. It's not as good as Jamie and the Magic Torch, which we've done very recently, just because that's so fucking mad.
Yes.
But I've certainly enjoyed this more than some of the other just pure cartoons we've watched recently, even though it's very short, even though it's for kids.
Yeah.
I think there is just, there's that element of nostalgia still, because like I'm watching a lot of young kids TV now, obviously, and we don't have anything like this anymore. Everything is far more complex than this now, and it doesn't need to be.
But the problem is the more complex stuff as well, they try to make it so much quote unquote smarter, but actually they just make it so fucking convoluted that you as an adult, it's very difficult to follow. So then if you've got a child asking you questions, it's really fucking difficult to follow to answer.
Yeah, it is. Just like the nearest thing I can see to this in terms of like its length and stuff like that at the moment that I've seen recently is Yakadi, because they are like 3-4 minutes, but there's no story to those. It's just an aid to teach kids how to talk. You know, there's not most kids shows now tend to be like 10-15 minutes long. And a lot
and
of
it's
them
all fucking edutainment as well.
It is.
It's all got a message and it's all trying to get you to pick up on something.
Either that or it's completely pointless, like fucking Cocomelons or Baby Jake or some horse shit like that.
I've forgotten about Baby Jake.
Baby Jake is the worst thing to ever exist. I fucking hate that show with a passion.
If it was a toss-up between Nuclear Apocalypse and Baby Jake, I'm sorry, world, but you're all fucked.
Agreed. Fuck is that show?
So we had a slight period of that. So it was on, like, I used to, when Jess was sort of an age where that would have been, you know, appealing. It was one of the rare occasions I was actually working, you know, within half an hour of where I live. Yeah. I wasn't all over the fucking country. But I still used to get it. I'd be up at 5:30, 6 o'clock. She'd then be up very soon after. And so we put, you know, and then we put that on. So I think CBeebies started at, I was either 6:30 or 7. So I think Frog's Age 6:30, that would be like the first thing on, or maybe the second thing on. So I would always catch it before I went to work. And it used to drive me to the fucking wall because it would be in my head all day.
Yeah, that fucking song, Yaki Yaki Yogi with the hamster notes and all of fuck.
Yeah,
off.
All that. Yeah, all
and
that.
And it's
fucking
nonsense. That's the problem, is it's fucking nonsense. It has no value whatsoever.
This is the problem. And it's not teaching, you know, it's. In theory, it's supposed to be teaching kids about their imagination and, you know, going off on adventures and telling stories and all this bollocks. But it doesn't do that. All it does is teaches kids that they can speak gibberish.
Yeah.
And so we had it with Jess, but then Tori's brother's side, his third kid, so the second son, was probably 3 when he was watching it, and he was fucking obsessed with it. But again, he had the, you know, linguistic skills of a toilet brush.
Yeah.
He hadn't really developed, wasn't really beyond that point. So whereas he should have been identifying with the slightly older kids who were trying to get Jake to do stuff, he was still identifying with the baby.
Mm.
And then when they went and had number 4, they were going to call him Jack, but on the back of the fact that the next kid wouldn't call the baby Jack, would only call him Jake, they then changed his name and called him Jake.
Rough.
To be fair, that's not the most egregious things those parents did.
No,
we'll
very
not
true,
talk about that.
Yeah,
we'll leave that one there. But yeah, it was one of those. It's one of those shows, and I said it's absolutely fucking nonsense. It serves no purpose other than it's a bastard and earworm.
Yeah, totally. I fucking hate that song.
I've repressed it so fucking much.
We get it at least once a day, usually more than that. It tends to be a before bed thing, which has really upset me, because In the Night Garden used to be a before bed thing, and that's a fucking class show.
Yeah. So is that not on the bedtime bit now?
No, in the night garden, she doesn't really. I mean, we watch it all on demand,
but she's not.
Yeah. So she stumbled across Baby Jake, and now it's like, if you try and put In the Night Garden on, she's like, no.
I wish somebody would actually stumble across him and stick a knee in his fucking throat.
Yeah, like killing babies is wrong, all right, on every level, unless it's Baby Jake. Yeah.
More spoilers for last week's Who Wins, Maggie Simpson.
Yeah. Anyway, that's way off topic again. So Potting and Bees is miles better than all of that. Like, and that's where the nostalgia it comes in for me. It's like I sound like a really old man now, but they just don't make shows like this anymore.
In my day,
yeah, when kids' TV was good. And like, that's kind of the whole point behind this podcast anyway.
Yeah, that's why we do this.
But I feel like this show perfectly encapsulates that. It's like, this is how good it used to be. This is what they took from us. right?
Yeah. And I mean, the thing for me is I don't have the nostalgia that goes with this because I didn't really watch it, didn't really like it because I didn't see it.
Mm.
So I'm coming at it relatively fresh today. And I'm going, all right, okay, this is a bit different. And I'm watching it thinking, all right, I remember the song. The song's fucking amazing. I'm happy with that. And then, okay, so, Dumpy's on a diet. And his diet is he fucking sees it and he eats it. Can't fault him. As a fellow fat cat, that's fine. But yeah, so I was like, okay, that's fine. And then as you go through it, okay, so the moral of the story is actually, if you eat too much, you'll have to wash the dishes because you've got to pay for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't the preachy bit that you get now about being unhealthy or being greedy or anything like that. It was, if you want it, you got to pay for it. And if you can't pay for it, you're going to pay for it some other way.
The whole...
And it was more of a fucking lesson than anything else.
Yeah, the whole thing is very sweet and very good-natured. You know, even...
Yeah.
With Black Eyed Pea and Grumpy and all of that, like they're not villainous as such, you know. No.
And that was one of the things they wanted to do with the American one. I think that was one that just didn't get made. They had two new characters who were going to be the Pod twins, and they weren't going to be evil, but they were going to be sort of fairly mischievous. And then they were going to introduce a rival gang from which were going to be some sort of insects.
No, doesn't work.
That's probably why it didn't get made, because it doesn't dilute the essence of the show so much as it completely pisses on it.
The closest thing you've got to an antagonist is Creepy, and it's just the way he looks, because he looks like he's got the hook nose and stuff, and
the sharp teeth.
But he's never particularly villainous. He's just a little bit nasty now and again, but there's episodes where, like, when they're putting on they got to get the band together and stuff like that, and he's just like, I'll play in the band, I'm part of this community, it's fine, you know. And everybody welcomes him in, and the whole thing is just all very lovely.
It is very wholesome, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's all very, very British. Like,
oh god, yeah.
And that's why I can't see, like, when
unbelievably fucking British.
Yeah, when you're saying about a co-production with America as well, and it's like, no, that would have absolutely ruined it, because all of the humour, all of the ethos behind it, all just feels very late 70s, early 80s Britain. Like, that's...
Yeah, and we talked when we did Spats a fortnight ago, and we were talking about that with the British and Canadian co-production, and so the difference in it, the difference in level of comedy, the different type of comedy, when the Canadians pulled out after season one, it became a far more quintessentially British product.
I say,
as we talked about last time, that sort of that level of humor has sort of transcended now, so we're at that point where actually there are still differences between the British show and American show, where they are a lot closer than they ever used to be. But this, back from, what was it, 89, I said, this is so fucking fundamentally British. You will not, you could extend this to 20 minutes and have a fucking Python sketch out of it.
Oh yeah, totally. It's very, very British. And that's, I don't, it's just got this air of, like, British preschool days to me. Like, it fits perfectly in with Shoe People and Raggy Dolls and Mr. Men, and it fits neatly into that box of just, like, being in your very early school days and coming home and Poddington Peas would be on the fucking telly. And then, like I said, at Christmas time, you get the Poddington Peas annual. I don't know how many Poddington Peas books. I wonder whether it did anything for children eating peas in the same way that Banana Man did with bananas.
Maybe.
Probably not. If anything, surely it would make you...
You wouldn't
not...
want to eat them, because you wouldn't want to eat your characters.
Yeah. I don't know.
Whereas, Banana Man wasn't a banana.
No. Bananas in Pyjamas were, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's definitely... It hit me in the feels, is what I'm saying. So that helps.
Yeah.
But I think... Even if it didn't, it is such a quality production. The animation is very high quality for what it needs to be. Again, like, this isn't Disney Afternoon, but it's very, very good. The sound is exceptionally good. You mentioned the sound already. All the Foley work is really good. The theme tune is phenomenal. But what I'd, like, must have pushed to the back of my mind, but remembered within milliseconds watching the first episode, is the sound of the peas talking.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do that, because there's a narrator.
No,
and that would have been fine. But it just lends so much character to each of those peas, that they've got this kind of weird, tinny kind of voice underneath. Like, they're not speaking English. They're speaking in, like, whatever the Poddington Pea language is. And it's getting translated to us via the narrator. But I think what that also does, and this is very clever, is it makes that animation all the more fluid. Because you don't have to lip sync with the narrator at all. The narrator's just reading a story. and is telling you what the P's say in a third person. The P's are talking for themselves. They're just doing it in that kind of slightly tinny, almost clangers-like way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's got that kind of element of, like, it's not language, but the sounds themselves are sort of, they're almost diegetic. They've got a kind of, you can hear the formation of the sentence within the sound then.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a level of genius and creativity that you just, again, wouldn't get today, because nobody would think about it and nobody would afford the time to do it. But that's somebody watching this product and going, do you know what would really make this fly?
Yeah, just make it stand out a little bit more.
Just give them P language and they can all speak in P language.
Yeah.
And it, just what a magical wonder. And it makes it unique then as well. Like that sound straight away, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, that's the fucking Poddington Peas. That's how they talk.
And not only that as well, I think the temptation would have normally been with something like that. If you're going to do that, you're going to give them this way of communicating that we don't need to understand because you've got a narrator. The temptation would have been, you sort of see it in, again, cartoons of this period where you've got somebody on a phone. So you can get, or even not even in cartoons actually, in live action kid stuff, somebody's on a phone. So they're talking and you can hear them talk. But on the other end, you go, the temptation would have been just to do that for the entire episode. Anytime they're talking, just give them that really fucking annoying, really squeaky, really bippy sort of noise. Mm. And they don't do that. They've actually gone out with and designed a way for them to speak. And they say it sounds, we can't understand it, but it does sound very natural. It sounds the speech pattern sounds very natural.
It does.
And I think that, they didn't need to do that. And I think that the temptation would have always been to not, because you can cheap out and do it easier.
Yeah. And in a weird way, when you say, and I know what you mean when you say about people talking on the phone, it's that kind of Peanuts kind of wah, 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 wah. It's that.
Yeah.
But this almost, you kind of hit on the perfect way to describe it, I think. This almost is like hearing somebody talk on a phone on a bad line at a very, very, very quiet level. That's kind of what this is, where you can just kind of, well, like a broken speaker. You know, if you get a broken speaker and you get the audio coming through and it's quiet and you can just, it takes out all of the actual alliterative sounds and you're just left with this almost kind of just pulse, essentially, just flowing through it. That's sort of what this is, but it's quite a soft kind of pulse.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to describe, listeners. If you ever watched this show back in the day, I know you can hear that sound right now. You may have forgotten about it, but I know you can hear it right now. If you never did watch Poddington Peas, and this is a new one for you, then I'm sorry, I just can't do it justice. You're going to have to go and watch it to hear that. I can't even imitate it. It's not like with the clangers.
No, it's
where
really
like,
difficult.
It's like I don't even know how you get that sound.
No, I don't either. But I think as a new viewer, effectively, even looking now, thinking it really stood out as being something that was above and beyond what you generally expect of any product, let alone of this age, let alone a kids show.
Yeah, definitely. It's a level of detail that's not required. Similarly, with the character work, like the characters themselves are all very basic. You know, happy, grumpy, sleepy, dumpy. Like Mr. Men, right? It's characters by numbers. But then they've all got their own individual house that ties in with their personality.
Yeah.
And again, it would have been very easy to just be like, oh yeah, well, they all live in fucking plant pots, innit? But they don't necessarily. They live in other everyday objects that have been found around the garden. And it gives you this element of a kind of, like a wild environment almost. Like you could have gone down the route of like, here's a row of peas in the garden. And then, they would have all been in very uniform kind of.
Yes.
But it's not that. It's a little bit more nomadic. It feels like a village.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
And not only that. I mean, I think there was an episode, I think it was round about the midway through the run, where I think it's Dopey, goes to come out of his house and he can't get out because there's a bird's egg.
Yes.
Which is the size of his fucking house. And you think, why is the bird's egg so big? And then it takes you that signal, hang on, they're peas, they're fucking tiny. That's why there's a bird's egg there, because they're in the garden and the bird has laid an egg and it's just a normal egg size.
Yeah.
But to them, it's fucking ginormous. Yeah. And it's this massive problem.
Yeah, and they don't do that much, to be fair, other than you can see it in the world. Like I say, you can see the houses made from boxes and plant pots and stuff like that. So you can see it, but it's never really drawn attention to as a point of an episode. Like the episodes, again, very much like Mr. Men or Shoe People, which also did this exact same thing, you know, with a clown shoe and things like that.
Yeah.
every episode is more based around a P's personality. It's like you'll get, this is about this P this week, you know? So yeah. There'll be an episode about dumb P. There'll be an episode about dope P. There'll be an episode about creep P, you know? And it's about them that week. And the story evolves from their personality and what their daily life in Poddington is like. You know, there are a few exceptions. You know, Zip P kind of doesn't really have his own episode, but he just shows up everywhere.
No, but he's kind of in all of them, though, isn't he?
That's exactly it. He's the closest thing we've got, really, to, I think, a lead P, almost.
Yeah.
And then Creepy as well. He's kind of omnipresent. Like I say, he's the nearest thing we've got to an antagonist.
Yeah.
Probably the closest you get to a Zip P episode is the one with Chip P as well. I'm hitting the P all the time, listeners, just to make it clear that these are their names, and I'm not just regurgitating words like I've had some sort of fucking Joe Biden stroke on air or something. Like, I'm just making sure that you understand. Yeah. Mark's shaking his head.
Yeah, no, it's just amazing because I've got the wiki page in front of me, and I hadn't realized there are 34 P's in this show.
Right, I can't name all 34.
I can't name all 34. I can't see the picture clearly enough to go through them either, but there are 34 P's.
I mean, there's only 13 episodes. There's no way all 34 get named during the run. Some of those have got to be in books. I'm not saying they're not there, but some of those have come out of it in books, I think. Yeah. Because again, the books were also very similar. You know, they followed the narrative format of the show. I remember them being relatively short books as well. But I also remember them being illustrated quite well. I remember liking the look of it. So, you know, across the board, it's a quality product. And I think, you know, quality will always remain quality. Like, you can reassess the content sometimes, and as we have done, say, well, this doesn't really fly today because we've moved on from a narrative perspective, or maybe there's some culturally inappropriate content, or maybe things are sensitive. But there's none of that.
I think this doesn't really date either.
No, it doesn't. That's what I'm saying, because it's such a quality product, and because the stories are so simple.
Yeah.
You could easily rerun this today, and I think it would be just as popular as it was in the 80s, especially with kids, because kids don't give a fuck how old something looks.
No, they don't care what it looks like, as long as they can follow it.
Yeah, they don't care if it's a fucking ancient show and the sound is shit and the video's shit. Yeah. And like I said, I can attest to that. I'm watching older shows with my daughter. She doesn't give a fuck as long as she enjoys it. She doesn't care what the quality is like. You know, she couldn't care less if we were watching it in fucking 360p and it looks like there's Vaseline smeared all over the screen. As long as she can make out what's going on, she doesn't care. Exactly. So, yeah, I think you could easily air it to kids today and it would be every bit as good. I'm really annoyed that we missed the chance for a Poddington Peas revival, because I think you could literally just make more episodes right now. You wouldn't have to update it. You wouldn't have to, like, in fact, it doesn't need anything to it. Oh, maybe you'd update some character designs, but I think the characters themselves can stay the same.
I think so. I think it's really disappointing. I mean, I say fresh today, I've gone, oh, is there only 13? And yes, okay, on the one hand, I'm thinking, yeah, blitz them in an hour, because, and it didn't interfere with anything else I was doing. I could quite happily carry on working and get on with it. But I was like, oh, that's it. Is there no more?
Yeah.
And I was looking, thinking, surely there must be a second season somewhere. We never got it, and that's such a shame.
Yeah, I'm shocked by it. I genuinely am. And we've had a few shows like this where the runs are much shorter than we thought.
Yeah.
But this one genuinely shocked.
This is probably the shortest one, because, I mean, the runtime on them is so low as well.
Yeah, definitely. But I remember this thing running for fucking ages and ages and ages.
Oh, they repeated it for fucking donkey's years.
So it's bonkers to me that I must have been watching the same 13 episodes over and over.
They probably weren't airing the Christmas one other than at Christmas.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
If they probably showed this twice a year, then they'd have only shown the Christmas one once.
Maybe you're right. As a kid, I'll still do it now as well. If I like something, I'll watch it over and over and over, so it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
But I don't remember this being repetitive in that way.
It seems like it's the sort of thing you quite happily just put on. I think because it's that sort of ID length where it's almost like filler between shows from somewhere like CBBC.
Definitely.
And you think, well, I could chuck this on. It's 5 minutes, and then we have a bit of fuckery with Gordon Gopher, and then we're into Turtles or whatever was going to be on after it. It just filled that some 5 minute slot between your really fucking young preschool stuff, which they still put on because some kids were in like nursery school, so that's sort of 3-4 year old, where they would, you know, they were doing afternoons, so they still wanted the preschool stuff when they first came home. And but then it quickly into these the transitional shows like this, and then into the older shows. But yeah, it just kind of slots in perfectly, and I can't remember for the life of me anything you could lift out. So you could lift this out and put anything else in that would fit as absolutely seamlessly.
No, and I think you're right. That is the perfect use for it. Like, this is no one's favorite show. I enjoyed it very much, and I think it's a quality show, right? But it's no one's favorite show, unless you fucking really, really like peas, like John Major's spitting image permit, right? Like, it's no one's favorite show, but it's a good show, and it's just the right length to go like, what we got, our Pond and Peas is inoffensive enough, everybody likes a bit of Pond and Peas, just stick it in there and you'll just watch it over and over and over again. I don't want to call it bland because that's unfair, and it's not. I think inoffensive is better, perhaps, in terms of nobody's turning it off, because nobody's going like, oh, fuck this. It's not Baby Jake, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody's going, noise, I can't stand it.
I think from that perspective, I think there are two camps there. You have the one camp that says, oh, it's Pond and Peas, all right, well, this is on until the next thing's on, fine. And you have the camp that says, right, this is the 2 minutes, this is our Orange Wednesday's ad, this is where I go for a piss, this is where I go and get a snack. And then by the time I've done that, I come back and the thing I want to watch is on. But I'm not turning off, I'm not changing the channel, because that's what they don't want you to do. They don't want you to turn over to ITV.
No.
So it's just something that I say.
But it's not worth flicking over to ITV and back because it's so short. You're right.
Yeah.
It's let's go and have a piss, or let's go and grab a bag of crisps. Or.
And to be fair, the timing of it as well, it probably would have coincided with an ad break on ITV.
It probably would have, actually.
So that's just that's like smart. Us who actually enjoyed the ads.
Yeah, so that's quite smart, actually, timing like that. Incidentally, I'm not letting you get away with it. Just circle back around, we'll give you props for the mention of Orange Wednesday adverts.
It took me a while to remember that it's because it's Meerkat Movies now, and it's a slightly different offer.
It's Meerkat Movies, yeah, or in some cinemas it's not even that now. They just run ads for their own brand. Yeah, it'll always be the Orange advert to me. Like, that's my designated piss break before the fucking end of the trailers and the start of the film. Like, I have it to a fine art.
It was 90 seconds. You knew as soon as that started, you had 90 seconds to go have a piss and come back.
Yep, I could do it no matter where in the cinema I was. Like, some screens, you had to run, but I could always make it to the bog and back before the Orange Wednesday advert finished. It's a matter of pride for me. It's like fucking Gitto Neath Bran and the fucking boiling kettle. Like, I can do it. I can make it to the toilet, have a piss, and be back in my seat before the fucking BBFC logo comes up on the screen.
Yeah.
I'm getting older now. That's not as easy to do.
I've got that consistency anymore, because if you go to Odeon, they'll have their own ads and their own things about not turn your phones off. And
yeah, Vue do the same. And now as well, it I've noticed an increasing trend of throwing a cheeky trailer in after that advert as well.
Yes, really fucking annoying.
Yeah, so...
Or it's another film tie-in ad.
Yeah.
So it won't even be a trailer. It'll be like, you know, something that Garfield is fucking advertising instead of being the Garfield trailer.
Yeah, so I'm less able to predict it and get the jump on the advert.
And the Meerkat Movies ad is only 30 seconds as well.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, it's becoming increasingly difficult. But yeah, that's what Poddington Peas is, isn't it? It's the Orange Wednesday advert of the CBBC afternoon slot.
If you watch it, it's entertaining enough. You'll sort of take it in. If you want to run away and do something else, it's not worth changing the channel.
No.
Because if you want to watch the thing that's after it, if you change the channel, you're not going to change it back in time to the start of it.
No, you're not.
And that's not what they want. So yeah, that's the purpose. I think that's the purpose of it.
Yeah, that's the perfect place for it to sit. And I think, bearing that in mind, I think it's actually credit to all of the creatives involved that now 40 years later, like, it's not just us two sat here talking about it on a podcast. Like, it's still a thing. It's like I say, it's readily available on YouTube because there's a lot of love for it.
And not just in one place either. Some things we watch, there's like one channel who's got loads of kids' TV. This is, some people have uploaded it in the last 12 months, some people 10, 12 years ago.
It's everywhere.
It's every fucking way.
It's another show that if you're of the right age that you record it when it's on, you guarantee, like you say, Pond and Peas, everybody knows it. It's not one where they're like, oh, what was that? It probably is a show that if you name some people, you stop some people and ask me to name kid shows in a Family Fortune style, it would be up there. You know, it would be one that wouldn't require any prompting for people to talk about. You know, it's not like a really random one where they go, oh, yeah, it's like it's going to be in the forefront of people's minds.
And not only that, if you, like, when you're talking theme tunes again, if you'd say Pardon the
Beast,
people are straight into the bottom of the gun. It's that straight away, it's in there.
Totally. I've seen very recently there's Poddington Peas merchandise still around.
Yeah.
I know there's still like retro Poddington Peas t-shirts and bags. So it's had the staying power, and I think that's credit to everyone involved. In fact, I'd argue it's probably got more staying power than some of its competitors, certainly more than Shoe People. I loved Shoe People when we rewatched it, don't get me wrong, and those chocolate bars are top tier, as we talked about at the time, but it's, I think Poddington Peas kind of eclipses it in terms of its staying power. I think far more people will probably remember. I may be wrong, and let me know if I am, listeners, but I think far more people will remember Poddington Peas than will Shoe People. Not Mr. Men, obviously, because Mr. Men is Mr. Men.
I think the difference will come depending what channel you're on, because Shoe People was ITV. So if you watched ITV a lot,
I guess you're right.
You'll be more familiar with it. One thing I will say, actually, in terms of you talking about merch, so I went to the 80s weekend in Butlins a couple of weeks ago, and there was a guy there dressed as Timmy Mallett on the Friday night, and he had a yellow T-shirt with the Poddington Peas logo on it.
There you go. Yeah,
and I've literally only just remembered. I was looking through pictures the other day, but yeah, it's still a thing.
I mean, more importantly, did he have a mallet?
Yes.
Okay, and did he force people to play drinking games with this mallet? Because if he didn't,
he just went hitting people.
What a twat. Like, how do you not set up impromptu mallet sessions with beer and stuff? Like,
to be fair, he may have done that throughout the day. I didn't see him throughout the day. I only saw him on the Friday night.
I mean, that's missed opportunity, innit? You've got to be having impromptu pop-up mallet sessions. Otherwise, what's the fucking point? I don't have too much more to say about it. It's a lovely little show. I really enjoyed it. It's every bit as good as it probably ever was. I think, you know, it's not going to set the world on fire, but it's definitely got the staying power, and I've enjoyed it, and I know I've watched the run. I'll watch the run again. God forbid, if she really likes it, I'll watch the run numerous times. But that's not the worst thing in the world. I'd much rather be watching this over and over and over than fucking Baby Jake. Baby Jake's taking a bash in, right, just because it's the worst of the worst. There are other fucking modern shows than
that. Oh, there's some absolute dog shit, but that is the worst.
It is the fucking worst of the worst. Like, everyone involved in that needs to be fucking shot.
I don't say this lightly, but Baby Jake is a really good advert for abortion. I think you're right. I think I probably won't watch this again, just on the basis that my kids are that much older.
And
they wouldn't hold the appeal.
They've
for
aged
them.
Out of it now.
And I don't think there's much reason for me to go back to it. That said, if it's on something, I ain't going to turn it off.
No.
I came at this with no baggage whatsoever, other than the fact I remember the theme tune, which is fucking amazing.
It really is. It really is a fucking amazing theme tune.
It's no Fraggle Rock, but had we done this in the first 100, this would have been a contender, certainly.
It would certainly have got down to the final few. It's no Fraggle Rock, but it's up there amongst the best. It's got that same kind of bouncy, joyous feel to it. It just doesn't nail it quite as well as Fraggle Rock because there are no hand claps.
Yes, exactly. I came to this fresh, and I've put it on and gone, you know what, this is a lot better than I expected it to be. And sometimes when we have these ones where one or other doesn't really remember it or isn't as familiar as the other, when we're coming at it almost new, the one who doesn't have the baggage tends to be like, oh, well, it was all right.
Yeah.
Nothing special. But actually, I've put this going, yeah, okay, I could have done with the episode being a little bit longer because I spent more time trying to skip the fucking sound, skip the end credits to get to the next one. Because as amazing as the theme song is, when you hear it 13 times in 50 minutes, it's quite a lot.
Yeah. Plus, you don't get the words over the end, do you? It's just the instrumental, so it's not as good.
Yeah. I was very pleasantly surprised at this, and I'd certainly say people in your situation, so people with kids of that anywhere up to about five, I'd be saying, "Not fucking put this on for them."
100%.
They will have a blast.
100%. As a middle-aged man now, had I not seen this before, you know, would I recommend this to viewers to go and watch? No, right? Because it is a kids' show, and I think you do have to have that level of baggage with it to fully appreciate it. Like you say, you've come to it and you found it to be, you know, entirely inoffensive and fine. But I've really, really enjoyed it because I can remember it first time out. And I think, you know, kids will really enjoy it because they'll meet it on their level. But as an adult watching it now, it's got nothing to offer you, really.
No, that's it.
But if you remember it at all, it's as good as you remember. Go back and take a look. You know, I mean, there are far worse things that we've looked at that you could go back and watch fresh, I'll be honest. So it's not top tier, but it's fucking good. Yeah, it's solid.
It's top half.
Yeah, it is. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, we're on episode 139, I think this is.
Yeah,
I mean, we're a good way into that. We've looked at a lot of fucking shows, and yeah, I'd be putting this in the top 50.
Oh, easily, comfortably so. So yeah, I guess what we're saying is give peas a chance.
Hey.
I mean, there's no way I can't, through the whole episode.
To be fair, I figured you'd have that one lined up somewhere. It always reminds me there's a bridge on the M25.
Yes.
And it's the red brick bridge. And every time I drive past, I'm always looking for it.
Yeah.
Because it's give peas a chance. It's painted on there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was expecting that at some point. I thought it'd come earlier, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, I saved it.
But I'd love to know what people's recollections are, because you have recollections of it, I don't, but just what people have known, if people have gone back to it now as adults and gone, oh yeah, okay, that's what it is, or people coming at it, you know, people who do play along, and there are some people who play along with us, and so we'll watch what we're watching. Yeah, let us know what you think, because I'm really intrigued as to how this is aged for you. Mm. So yeah, as always, reach out on Twitter at SMPDpod. Go to our website, ddpodcast.net. We can also get our other episodes and our other shows as well. Wherever you get your podcast from, subscribe, leave a message, and we'll get back to you the best we can. Until next time.
See you later. The party's over.